4KFW Mobile.
W2JKT Mobile, how's it going?
And Eric, happy Friday, happy Groundhog Day. Yes.
Either he doesn't see his shadow or somebody, you know, blinds him before he can or something. I don't know. I'm done with winter.
Done with winter, I haven't seen any snow yet.
Big north, Ken.
You know, I kind of miss it. I like for it to snow in the wintertime.
I do like it to snow once in a while, you know, upstate New York because my upbringing and, you know, it definitely was nice to have snow days and, you know, all that stuff. So anyway, I don't know. What's going on this weekend?
Hey, we may take in a movie that my wife likes, that series, The Chosen, and the first three episodes come out at the movie theater this week.
Well, Courtney and I it's weird because we'll talk about something and we'll say, oh yeah, we want to see that movie, and then like a work week will go by and we'll forget all about it. Now I can't remember what movie it was we wanted to see, but there was a movie on streaming that we wanted to watch. I just can't remember what it was now.
Yeah, I probably do a little bit of radio work, I guess, and that's about it, I guess. I don't think we got too much going on this weekend. Next weekend, the 6 grandkids are over, so that'll be wide open.
You're going to be run ragged with 6 grandkids. You know, we've got 2 of our own, you know, ours, and wow, you know, we can barely handle those. The movie is Oppenheimer. We were going to buy Oppenheimer on streaming this weekend and watch it.
It's a pretty good movie.
Like, just, you know, the waves, I mean, I don't know. I heard it was definitely worth it, so I can't wait to see it.
We don't take in too many movies. I know, I figured out that for the last 2 years I had ESPN and Disney Plus and that and didn't even know it. So got all that running. And then we started watching Susan had never watched the Harry Potter series, so we knocked out the first 3 last weekend.
Have been watching them lately too. I think they watched the first 2 last weekend, and you know, Courtney's read all the books several times. She says the books are even, you know, way better than the movies even. So one of these days when I have a lot of time, I can get around to reading the books, but I'm not a fast reader and it just takes me a long time to get through a book. So I don't know, probably in my retirement years before I have that kind of time.
Much of a reader. Reading puts me to sleep. I mean, I have to read the same page 3 or 4 times because I can't get through it.
So, what kind of radio stuff do you want to try this weekend? I'll probably be around. Patrick and I were talking about trying JS8 call. So, I might try to see if a bunch of guys want to try that this weekend. But, you know, it's pretty fun from what I hear.
Yeah, I haven't got all the parameters set up, but, you know, I'm open to it. Just text me, you know what I mean, and I'll see what I'm up to. And then I think the movie starts about 2, so probably late afternoon I'll be out of pocket.
And I'm not sure what our schedule's going to be either. I know we've got a show in Charlotte on Saturday afternoon, so Saturday evening will be out, but we're going to see a performance of Rachmaninoff's 3rd Piano Concerto at the Belk Center on Saturday. That starts at like 5:30, so we'll probably leave the house around 3, head up there, have some food, and then head to the show.
Then I may try to do a little bit of phone, and then I need to get a few more contacts. I think there's a couple of QSO parties going on.
Parties are going on this weekend.
Say there was a Vermont something else, maybe Minnesota or something like that.
Technically workable on pretty much anything, really. You know, any HF band except maybe 80 should get up there during the day.
What I was thinking, I just have to rotate my antenna a little bit to get a little bit better, you know, direction into there.
What do you have set up right now?
Oh, the MFJ-2104 Octopus. So it's got like, what is it, 4 ham sticks, you know what I mean, 2 for each band, and so it's, you know, north and south or east and west, whichever way you turn it.
I remember you mentioned mentioning that one time. Yeah, I've not looked at those. Yeah, for multi-bands, you know, I usually throw up an off-center fed dipole, and that gives me all the HF bands with reasonably good efficiency and good match. So, yeah, they're so cheap to build that I haven't really ever looked at anything else.
Mystery antenna the first 3 years that in an inverted V. And, I mean, it worked really good. I can't complain at all. But then I had my trees were so big and so tall, and we were just scared that, you know, they were going to fall over and hit the house. And every time it stormed, you had 30 minutes of picking up limbs before you could cut the grass. And that, so we had them all taken out.
I had the same deal. You know, I lived in the woods, but I had them come through and take out all the sick trees. You know, I had a whole bunch of sick trees. There was some kind of oak blight or something going through. So all the oak trees were sick or dying. So I had a lot of those taken out, chopped up in the firewood. And, all the healthy trees stayed. And then, you know, in the healthy trees, I hung, I had four off-center fed dipoles up in the trees in Seneca. That was pretty nice.
For the work 6 through 80. On that wire, so that worked out good.
This is a great band. I wish more people worked it. I've never seen much activity on it except for like FT8. But yeah, 6 meters is an amazing band. When it's open, like, you can get Europe, you can get anywhere in the U.S. on it, and, it's just, it's pretty amazing when that happens.
Popping up on the spot network a lot, but man, I just can't hear anybody. But I only have a vertical for 6 meters.
I can't hear anybody because all the DX is on horizontal polarization. And it doesn't skip. It's tropospheric effect, so it doesn't lose its polarization like skywave or skip wave does. So you need to have a horizontally polarized antenna for it.
Makes sense. And then I didn't realize that. And I figured it skipped at least once and changed. But man, I saw somebody. They were looking for a 1,000-watt amp for 2 meters. And that it just seems strange.
Why you would want that?
Talking about, you know, running 300 or 400 miles or whatever. We know when it was the propagation was good, but I still wouldn't have thought you would need that much.
Well, propagation is good. You can run 300 or 400 miles on 50 watts. So I don't know why. I mean, if you have a 1,000-watt amp, if you want to hear somebody, you know, at that distance, they also have to have a 1,000-watt amp. So, you know, I don't know what they're going for.
Yeah, hang on just 30 seconds. I'm going in a bad spot.
JKT, standing by.
KM4TFW. I'm back. Man, the amateur class and that, or, yeah, the radio extra class or whatever, and the radio math, man, that was brutal.
I want to go over it again. Let me know. Like I said, I'll be happy to have a Zoom call with you guys and go through the math again if you want just a refresher or a second pass through it. The math has always come easy to me, so I'm happy to do that for you guys.
I don't know if it's much the math as it is the, you know, the electronics part of it. Resistance, reactions, impedance, and, you know, all of that stuff is just not really something that I have a huge interest in.
Be enthusiastic about it, but it is kind of important, you know, to get the concepts and everything. You know, I mean, impedance, for example, I mean, it's a pretty, you can get into some really deep nitty gritty about impedance, but really, I mean, for ham radio, you just need to understand that, you know, there are problems that come up with impedance mismatches and, you know, how to do most efficient power transfer and stuff like that. And you don't really have to get that deep into it. But, man, from a physics point of view, you can really, really get into some deep stuff with impedance.
I can imagine. Just for that chapter, I'm just going to have to study all the questions and memorize the answers, I believe.
do that for some of the tests and everything, but, you know, over time, you know, you get a little bit more comfortable with the concepts over time, and once you know, are in the practice for a while, and once you start, you know, actually doing ham radio as an extra and using some of the tools like, you know, impedance matching networks and, you know, antenna analyzers and stuff like that, you know, just from the practical application of it, you'll learn a lot more for that.
KO4CN.
To JKT.
Morning, Andrew. KN4TFW. Gentlemen, happy Friday. How's your day?
Yeah, thank goodness.
Set up. I've been ready for it. It's Monday. Waited a whole week for this day.
Courtney and I both are very, very happy that the weekend is here. It has been a long week, especially for her.
Finally have a weekend where I don't have to go do or sell cards or do anything. So what's everybody got going on this weekend?
Thanks, Ken. Courtney and I are going to Charlotte tomorrow to see a performance of Rachmaninoff's Third Piano Concerto. It's on my bucket list. You know, I've been into piano since I was a kid. I don't play much, but I've always been a big interest in it. So that's one of the concertos I've always wanted to see played live, and now we're finally getting around to it. So that's cool. Then we're gonna try to watch Oppenheimer on streaming, because neither of us have seen it. We keep hearing good things about it, so we're gonna try to watch that.
We're gonna try to go to the movie theater. Susan wanted to see the first three episodes of the Chosen at the movie theater, and it come out this week. There's some money this weekend. If you go to the matinee, it ain't too bad.
Only about $150 into the concerto tickets. You know, the Belk Theater in Charlotte is pretty inexpensive for most of its shows. You know, it's corporate sponsors and stuff like that. You know, for the arts, so it's not too bad.
Most of the piano stuff by name, but it all sounds good. My wife was telling me this last week she used to play, and I started just kind of picking her brain. I was like, if that's something you want to do, I mean, you can get a piano or a keyboard or something like that, but I doubt she'll ever do it.
I've seen the movie Shine. Shine is about this pianist from Australia who struggled his whole life with all kinds of issues, but the Rock 3 was one of the things that they showcased in the movie that he played. So if you've seen that movie, then you've probably seen the well, at least a little familiar with it.
It goes on YouTube now. It's really neat where the guys are playing the pianos, and it's almost where they have the notes coming down the screen, and so as they're playing, you can kind of see where they're going with it. That's really neat way to show what keys they're hitting and for how long.
I forget what it's called. It's like a crawler or something like that, but yeah, those are pretty cool.
They're like tabs or whatever for the guitar. So Ken, how long y'all gonna be at the movies? Is it like one long show or what? These next 2 weeks are showing the first three episodes, so it's probably 2 hours, 2.5, something like that. I mean, we watched all the episodes from last year on the TV, but she kind of wanted to see it when it came out in the movies. I might finally get to finish watching the Reacher. Now that all of them have come out, I can binge watch them with the wife.
Watching Mr. Robot lately, and that's a great show as well.
Yeah, same here, KN4TFW.
W2JKT. Yeah, Mr. Robot's about hackers. It's really, really good.
Watch. Pretty cool where they were saying that the Chinese hacked a bunch of Wi-Fi things, but I don't think it was modems. So a lot of the older Wi-Fis have already been hacked.
Surprise. Be hacking something.
How vulnerable we really are now, right? Wasn't that way back in the 70s. And now you can just go online and buy a script, and these people that don't know anything, they can just run a program, basically, and call it hacking, you know. They're doing stuff when they're really not doing much, but still they get it from somebody else. It's just crazy.
Put, like, a Windows box on the internet without a firewall, it only takes, like, 7 minutes for somebody to get into it and hack it. At some point, I can't remember when, but if your Windows machine was on the internet unprotected, then, yeah, it took almost no time at all for somebody to find it and get into it. Box on my router, so I block any country that's, I block all incoming traffic from countries that aren't this one. A firewall on my VPN, so I all the traffic in my house goes through a VPN that I have on a co-located virtual server up in Chicago, and on that machine I have firewall tables that download lists of IP ranges by country, and I can block, you know, country by country based on IP address.
Keep technical for me. All right.
Track of all the blocked attempts, and I mean the numbers are just staggering. How many scans, you know, ping scans and connection attempts people make every single day, just like trying to get through my firewall. You know, the Chinese trying to get through my firewall, or whatever, to get in my network.
Inundated with between all the ads that collect data off of you and all the people that are trying to get into your computer, it's pretty crazy. Go online and there's websites that'll track what is it, DDoS? I don't remember the exact acronym now, but it'll track the different attacks. And you can see, it's almost like a war map. It's really weird where you can see the attacks going back and forth between different countries. The call hooked up this weekend?
I may try it. Eric said him and Patrick may be doing some of it Saturday, so I might can join in.
Same setup. I mean, it'll almost be identical to FTA. When you go through the setup process, it'll be identical.
Different.
It's built on that platform. So when you go into the menus, it's going to be almost the same. It'll be a little different, but, you know, once you get into the radio and audio settings and all that, it'll be identical to what you got for the FT8.
What frequencies do they typically use for JS8?
It's usually just a little bit up from FT8, so, like, on 40 meters, it's 7.078 instead of 7.4. I think 20 meters is the same way. 10 meters is a little bit further, I believe. So, but it's a lot of the same. It's not that much different. But it's usually just a little bit higher up the band.
At FT8, if you pick the band, it tells you what the typical frequency is. That helps.
SA call does the same thing.
Stop for a biscuit.
Just dealing with some crazies right here. Some guy in a Civic is trying to wreak havoc this morning. I'm trying to think of how you would do like a round robin chat with JS8 call. I guess you just have to be careful about not stepping on each other because you can't, you know, JS8 call is simplex. You can't send and receive at the same time unless you have a second radio or something. And I've often thought about how to do full duplex with it. Like you could send on one band and receive on another band if you had two radios. So I wanted to try to get that set up sometime too, but you know, everybody's got to have two radios. So not sure how many people can do it.
Band pass filter, but other than that, it's probably doable.
You have duplexers now, so you can have multiple bands go to different radios.
At Winter Field Day, not this last time, but the one before that, we were trying to do some stuff, and any one person, you know, transmit would end up wiping out the band for anybody else, even if you were on a different band altogether.
Radio question. like our Motorola's, was it XPR 6550s? The batteries, the intrinsically safe batteries are obsolete from Motorola, but you can still get some aftermarkets, and they may be making get a radio or two. And that, does anybody have a programming cable for one of those? Program. I didn't know if there was, you know, if something like Chirp would do it or what.
I have Motorola CPS to program them, but a buddy of mine works for the fire department down in Clemson, and he's got all the things.
I mean, it's a decent radio. I mean, it's an $1,100 radio. And then I mean, if you just trash them, it'd be good to, you know, you can set it up for something, and, you know, maybe even GRAMS. And that, and you know, use it with the grandkids or something.
5550 was an analog radio, is it?
It said analog digital.
It must be like a pre-narrowbanding version, because I know after they passed the narrowbanding mandate, they're not even allowed to make an analog capable radio anymore.
I don't know, the 7500 series may be like that. That's our new version, and I got to switch to 7500 today because my 6500 told me that my battery was done.
Pulling in the parking lot, so I'm going to say 7-3. Y'all have a good one. Be safe, and hopefully you have a good weekend. And we'll holler at you Monday morning, if not over the weekend. KO4CEF, and I'll be clear on y'all's final.
Have a great day and be safe. And yeah, maybe we'll hook up some GSAs this weekend. Have a great day, W2JKT.
You have an awesome day and an awesome weekend. I'll try to catch up with you over the weekend. KN4TFW. Like when I looked up that radio, it would do 2 meters, 220, and 440.
At all, if it'll do 220 as well. It's 220 is a very underutilized ham band, but it works really well. We've got a couple of 220 D-Star repeaters in my area, and you know, I have a Kenwood D74, which does it, so that's pretty nice.
I didn't know if it was, you know, worth getting them if I could get them.
With the Motorola, you know, the Batwing radios, is that you have to know somebody who can program it for you, because it's Motorola won't hand you CPS. You can't go to the site and just download the programming tool. You have to be an agency, and they license it specifically to the agency. So you just have to know somebody at an agency who can program it for you.
They're on that one. Market batteries were intrinsically safe or whatever? Probably not.
Seem to be, unless you're like running into fires with them or something.
That's why I said I couldn't buy the I didn't feel like I could buy aftermarket batteries for the ones that work, since 90% of the stuff around us is explosion, or, you know, can explode.
Zone zero or zone one?
Really understood the question. One dev one or something like that. I mean, we got methanol and all kinds of stuff.
Dev one is an explosive atmosphere is present intermittently, so that's a step up from class two dev two, which is abnormally. And then class zero dev zero zone zero is continuous explosive atmosphere. So yeah, you're definitely in that spot where you'd want an intrinsically safe battery.
Everything out here has to be intrinsically safe, your flashlight and everything. Heck, you got 2 hours to earn permits just to be able to use a drill.
But my first job out of college, I worked for Honeywell in the oil refining control systems division, and everything that we did had to be galvanically isolated, intrinsically safe.
15 seconds to try me again. I'm in a really bad spot.
W2JKT.
Right now.
say that my first job out of college was at Honeywell. I was in the process solutions business, and we were doing control systems for oil refineries and all that stuff, and everything we did had to be GIIS, you know, galvanically isolated, intrinsically safe.
Definitely a learning curve when you buy stuff out here.
Our electronics design, for example, if we were going to use a capacitor in the electronic design, we had to do the calculations on the energy stored in that capacitor and compare it to the table of ignition energies from, you know, factory mutual for various gases to make sure that, you know, the amount of energy stored in that capacitor, were it to fail short, would not be enough energy dissipated to ignite, you know, an atmosphere of that particular gas. So it was pretty crazy, all the calculations and studies we had to do.
I can imagine on that. Talking about explosion-proof motors and explosion-proof coils and stuff like that, man, the dollars just start going ka-ching, ka-ching.
There, it's pretty nuts. Like, I think some of our control boards, the street price is like $100,000 for some of that stuff. Just for a computer, you know, like one control module, it's like $100,000 because of all the certifications and liabilities.
Definitely get up there.
Traffic is super heavy today.
It to me, too, like there was a lot more people out this morning.
People are having to go back to the office full-time, you know, every day now. I know, you know, Courtney, you know, her job is, you know, constantly pressuring everybody to get back into the office 5 days a week. And, you know, I know PTI, like, we haven't really pushed that, at least not officially, but, you know, some of the directors and managers are definitely, you know, putting, you know, some pressure on people to come back into the office more. You know, it's under my VP, you know, the average per week in the office, and they're starting to talk about that plus a lot more. So hopefully they don't get too crazy with it, because, you know, 3 days is about all I can do and still physically handle it.
You got 3 hours of driving every day.
And, you know, it's not too bad because of my hours, but if they were to, you know, when I first started working at TTI, the VP was one of these kind of more old-fashioned guys who wanted everybody in the office at 8 o'clock in the morning and stayed till at least 5 in the afternoon. Everybody had to take lunch at noon exactly, and a very, very, you know, hyper-50s traditional kind of thing. And hopefully, you know, the new VP is definitely not like that, thank goodness. But if we ever did go back to that, there's just no way I could keep the job.
And those hours would add at least an extra hour each way on your trip.
Yeah, 4 or 5 hours a day.
Well, I'm saying 7-3. And then you have an awesome day and a good weekend, and maybe I can try to catch up with you guys. KN4 TFW.
Sounds good, Ken. Have a great day. Be safe and all that explodey atmosphere thing. So we'll talk to you soon. Have a good one. W2JKT.